We try and start within 10 minutes of the second time at the latest. And are you still having a problem with your laptop with the presentation? That's fine. No, that's fine. We've got a hard copy. Can we proceed using the hard copy in the meantime? All right, let's give them another 2 or 3 minutes to see if we can get this thing started.
And that's a personal view. I'm
not holding all the other members to the same standard, and you might want to spend a few minutes deliberating on it. This time, I have allowed it because it's a new committee, and I think members might have received some already last night, and those who were not there last night. But as a general rule, I think we should avoid that. And that would go to even the public operators. The private operators. I just think it's bad culture and bad practice if they come with very expensive gifts for members. It doesn't set the correct tone, and I think it sets great problems for us later on. I know that the common refrain is, you must just declare it. But I want to, without naming any person, I am aware of a private operator that sponsored a former member of this committee for the Rugby World Cup in France. Now, that would work out to a good few, but tens of thousands of men. And the question is, why would a private company want to do that for a member? Yes, you can declare it and you can say value unknown, but we know the value would be possibly in excess of 100,000 rand. My common understanding, you take the flights and the tickets and the accommodation and all that. And I think it does raise moral and ethical questions. So if it's a small token of appreciation, my assessment is fine, the parliamentary rules allow for it. But if it's something specialized, I think maybe the committee needs to take a view on the matter so that we have a correct, the same benchmark about these matters, and I don't want to impose my particular view on the matter. So I'm throwing it up for discussion, maybe not today, but if you have a few comments now, that's fine. And then the committee can take a view on the matter later on. Master?
Thank you, Mr. As you said, that's your own thing. I think we cannot deliberate on this here, but I feel that we have to discuss it because we have got rules in Parliament. And it is addressing the members' interests also. I think we can discuss it because we don't know what is big and small. And if we have to measure, I think we can sit down as a committee and discuss it later when we've got time. I'm really interested in discussing this because it's good, yes. Morally, it is good. But I've got some reservations on this whole thing.
Thank you. Chair, I've got a lot of opinion on that too, but I think we should discuss it among membership only. My opinion on the vote may not go down well in front of visitors here.
No, I think that's really the intention. I don't want us to discuss the matter. I think I just wanted to flag it because there are also members from the opposition parties and they're all new. But I think it's important for us to have an open discussion on the matter at some point and come to a view on the matter. Of course, the rules are there, but I'm also drawing from past experiences which might actually get members into difficulty. That's the issue. So let's leave it at that. We can have a discussion at some point, but let me flag it for now. Mr. Hicking, over to you.
Chair, the point well taken from our point, from our side. I'd just like to give you the assurance that I think it's a normal corporate gift, and it's so disappointingly that I've never received one. So firstly, our congratulations to you on your re-election as chair. Our first association with you has, I believe, been a good and positive one. Our good wishes to you and the members for a constructive, rewarding term of office, both yourselves as a committee and to the beneficiaries of your labours. I thank this committee for continuously engaging the company in the pursuit and monitoring its national goals for universal access to broadcasting and broadband facility services and products. We are, of course, greatly encouraged by the State President's commitment of government to expand broadband capacity and to ensure that rural areas are not left behind, as stated in his recent State of the Nation address. Furthermore, we are encouraged by the ANC Polokwane resolution that Centec is a strategic national asset and should be funded to execute its socio-economic mandate for the general public of South Africa, a resolution endorsed by the Cabinet last year. Shortfall in funding remains a serious challenge to accelerate DTT broadcasting signal distribution and the rollout of national broadband wireless projects. We are, however, appreciative of the funding made available and the efforts of the previous Minister, DHD, and Treasury in this regard. I believe it's appropriate to acknowledge the role of the previous Minister and we note with sadness her passing on the 6th of April this year. During the presentation, we will report on the successful switch on of DTT 2 days before the target date, DTT migration targets, broadband wireless project, readiness for Confederations Cup and 2010 FIFA Football Cup, the importance of the socio-economic role that can be played by Centec given appropriate funding and other necessary support. Issues that have been previously raised here. And I think it's also worth noting that our old analog network is operating at required customer levels with television at 99.8% availability and radio 99.7%. During the past year, we've commissioned 19 community radio stations, commissioned one community TV, and that is Fact TV, rolled out low-power transmitter sites in the Karoo and Kalahari, which give access to TV and radio, and are currently rolling out in the Mpopa, Mpumalanga, and KZN. Centec is committed to playing a critical role in the future of South Africa and is confident of government support in achieving its goals. We wish to say greetings to the new government and in particular the Minister of Communications and his deputy an effective term of office. Centec pledges its support to government. I'd like to take the opportunity of introducing you to the Centec team. And in this respect, on my right, we have the Chief Executive Officer, Dr. Sebeletso Mkhoni Matabane. On her right, Beverly Ngwenya, the COO. Then Mr. Dingani Dube, who is in charge of regulatory affairs. On my left, Mr. Sid Katham, who is the Chief Financial Officer. And behind him, Mr. Tom Mashigo, a non-executive board member, and Dr. Yvonne Musian. Also with us is Mr. Mondi Mdeleni, Specialist Stakeholder Relations. Thank you, Chair. I'd like to now hand over to the Chief Executive Officer. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. What we will present this morning, Chair, is based on what the Chair said we needed to focus on in our presentations today. But mindful of the fact that we do have some new committee members of Parliament, we thought we would also just give an overview of Centec and where we come from and where we're going. Just want to refer to the fact that we had been a broadcast signal distribution entity. We later were awarded telecom licenses, and the ECA accordingly changed the object of Centec and indicated that, in our code, Centec shall be its business and object would be to provide electronic communication services and electronic communication network services, embracing the whole issue of convergence therein. As the Chair has mentioned, we do have achievements we'd like to boast about. For television, the SLA for our customers is 99.8, that was achieved. The availability of radio is 99.7, that too was achieved. And VSAT 99.6, we achieved that in care of carrier was that. So we're very proud of the competence and really commitment that our people have and it's for that reason that we're able to achieve the SLA. In terms of DTT, Chair, Cabinet has said that we needed to switch on November 1 last year. We were able to do that 2 days before the deadline at an international ITU summit that was held in South Africa for the first time on the African continent. So it was indeed a momentous and proud moment for the company. We have said, in terms of DTT, that we would cover 40% of the population by April, by March 31st this year. However, due to delays in finalizing the frequency plan and CENTEC, along with industry players, are working with ICASA on this matter, but also due to because of that and because some of the equipment we get is frequency specific, that target was not met, but what we did do was to achieve 33%. And given some of the challenges, we do believe that we're right on target. In terms of one of our major projects, that is the 2010 FIFA World Soccer Cup, we had to accomplish certain projects on time. I'm proud to say that we're able to acquire the land at NAGREX through the Department of Public Works. It's on a lease basis. We are trying to get a long-term lease if we can't procure that property completely. But we are working with them, and things we believe will work out very well. The network and technical designs for this second teleport have also been finalized. So, you know, we have achieved what we said we would do for the past financial year, and moving forward, we don't anticipate any difficulties. In terms of the contact hub, as you recall, they were supposed to provide satellite infrastructure for the games that are going to be starting soon. This too was achieved. The stadia in Mangaung, the Royal Bafokeng in Northwest, Ellis Park, and Loftus have been completed and were handed over to FIFA yesterday. So everything worked out very well. In terms of retail broadband, we have taken a decision to exit retail, as we have reported before. We are in the process of implementing that, and have written off, we have financial write-offs for the assets that we were using for this particular project. In terms of the national broadband wireless infrastructure, the objectives were that DOC and National Treasury, had to approve a business and funding model, and that the implementation of the rollout to schools, to hospitals, especially in rural areas, to some community centers and travel offices and government offices. And this is supposed to, show some milestones by 31st of March of this year. The status is that, and of course the United Schools, that were supposed to be the hub, that we would roll out the WireNex technology to the United Schools, and that the schools and government facilities within a radius that would receive the signal would also be covered through this United Schools. That was the objective that we had set for ourselves. We have said in the past that we needed funds to roll out to these facilities, mindful of the fact that economically or financially they're not in a position to really pay for themselves, and that the private sector is reluctant to go there because they're not areas where people can really make a good return on investment, so to speak, make money. And yet those services are needed as the President has again reiterated in his State of the Nation address, we did receive some funding, which was half a billion. Our board did allow for us to proceed and plan for the rollout using part of that money. But we are currently in discussions with the Department of Communications and MT so that there would be a commitment. The point being that we don't want all the money right now necessarily, but we need to know that the roadmap should be clear so that we can then proceed with the rest of this project. In terms of financial performance, we anticipated a loss of 59 million, and that financially will be sustainable within 7 years. That is, again, with no dependence on the fiscal, if indeed the funding model for the National Broadband Wireless was approved. In terms of the financial loss, we did achieve that, and Centec projected a before tax profit, excluding of course extraordinary items, e.g. impairments, etc. So we did achieve that. Other achievements, and I'm not listing all of them, was that, as the Chair mentioned, the expansion of the infrastructure. What was interesting, Chair, was that when we, for instance, went to Kalahari, those people there last year said that for the first time they felt like they were South Africans, because never before had they received any of their South African television services. They hadn't. And many of the radio services that we provide to people in this country, they had never provided because they had never really experienced, because the network was out of reach. So it's really been very, very meaningful to people in outlying areas that one of them said, I'd never seen the President of South Africa on television, because we need television. So they hear names, but could not put the names with their faces until that infrastructure was expanded. We hope to be working with the SABC to do more and more of that. The Mpumalanga Schools project that we had mentioned is going on very well. I believe that an additional contract was signed to expand this set to connect the schools. In addition to that, some of the government offices in Mpumalanga. The extension of connectivity to post offices that are located in remote areas where the telecom has not been able to reach, that we have also accomplished. And of course, the Home Affairs offices are critical, especially at the border post. We also provide services to that. And of course, the South African Weather Services, that is very key, especially in light of global environmental changes. We're very pleased with that. Now, moving to some of the external environment that impact on Centec, first and foremost, again, we have the GOC Minister as a shareholder, and we believe that it's in a sense a difficult position to be in, where you're the shareholder and also a policymaker. But it's a tension that we believe the minister is aware of and is competent to deal with that. I mean, on the other hand, for Centec, we keep thinking, you know, when we go to the shareholder, we go to the shareholder as a shareholder, but sometimes as a policymaker. When other players in the market go to our shareholder, they go to him or her as a policymaker. So I suppose the minister has to juggle heads depending on the situation. We are indeed mindful of the fact that at the end of the day, the overall interest is also the expansion and growth of the ICT sector in the country. It's one of the things that has to be achieved by the minister. We have come to the committee before to talk about the need for GOC and Minister of Finance to really come to an agreement about how Centec will be funded, especially because the socioeconomic mandate is not financially profitable for Centec. So our belief is that in as much as government has to invest in schools and hospitals, by the same token, if we want the development of rural and outlying areas, government has to invest in that infrastructure. We're hopeful that these discussions will be taking further under the new administration. We do need to give them time to understand the lay of the land, so to speak, and we're very hopeful that there will be a resolution, especially of the, because of the recommitment of government to develop rural areas. We do believe that there has to be some or better coordination regarding the ICT strategy for the country, and that for government, it's important that there's greater clarity on the role of Centec, Infraco, CETA, the municipalities, and all of that in the rollout of this infrastructure, because in a sense, it is all public money. And so better coordination with regards, we believe, would be much appreciated, especially mindful of the fact that because, you know, keeps reminding everyone that there are limited frequencies, and so we need to be efficient in how we use the frequencies and, of course, the public funds. Because I intend to regulate broadcasting frequency distribution tariffs, and we just wanted to mention to the committee that Centec has engaged an international company to help us develop a new tariff regime for the digital environment. We have made much headway, and we have discussed with their consultants and also with the broadcasters that at some point there will be a roadshow that we will, along with these international consultants, meet with the broadcasters so that they have a sense of, you know, from the broadcaster's perspective, the lay of the land and issues, so that when we do present a tariff, there would be better clarity and understanding on the basis upon which the tariff is structured. And of course, ICASA will also be visited along the same line, so that they too can indeed pose questions to the consultants. We have presented before the committee to say that we need to be provided with funding for the dual illumination during this period that we will be running both the analog and digital television infrastructure. Some funds have been allocated, not complete funds. I do know that the broadcasters have also said that they are paying already for the analog infrastructure services. So for them to pay double for the digital does not make business sense on their part, because the same audience and, you know, more people have the analog receivers, and so something has to give. But as I say, we have received some funding towards this, which will help, I believe, the broadcasting industry in the country. We have 330. It isn't enough. There's a shortfall of 558, but we are in discussions, and so we're hoping that there will be a resolution to that. Chair, Centec maintains its infrastructure, we believe, efficiently, and we expect to continue to do that. We have been looking at the FM shortwave and medium wave infrastructure, and we believe that in the next 5 years something would have to give, and so between now and then we'll be looking at plans to also either upgrade or do something to make sure that we continue to provide the necessary service to our customers in South Africa. The national skills gap that has been talked about also affects, CERTEC, as it affects everybody. We find that, because of the skill shortages, the retention of our people is somewhat problematic in that we don't have the deep pockets that some of our customers have. I suppose like ICAT and others, we are a training ground for others. We figure it's part of the territory, but it's a challenge that we currently have and are trying to manage. We do have quite a number of people who have been with CERTEC, committed employees for quite a long time, since the FCDC days. They are close to retirement. We have in-house skills development and skills transfer programs to ensure that there would be no death of skills after they retire. So in a sense, the timing is not so bad in that because of the migration from analog to digital television, for instance, that we have to give people the newer skills. And so we do, as I said, expect to manage this challenge. Our strategic objective for, 2009 to 2011 are to focus on key competency, our core business, which is broadcast signal distribution. There are more signal distributors now than there had been before. So what we really want to focus on is to retain our current customers and build on that. We expect ICASA to sometime in the near future to license new broadcasters, we hope to capture a part of that market. We're also looking at the other part of the African continent that is also migrating from analog to digital television broadcasting, and we expect to provide some services to those countries and to continue to provide technical training to some of the broadcasters on the continent, thereby expanding that part of the business. As you said, the exit of from the retail market in terms of broadband will continue and expect to conclude. Of course, we expect that sooner rather than later there will be finality in terms of the business and funding model for the rollout of the National Wireless Broadband Network in order to indeed achieve the objectives as set out by government. We also intend to implement a turnaround strategy for VSET. In as much as there's lots of fiber being put in the ground by a number of players, we do believe that there's still a role for VSET because of the expedient way that connectivity can be provided to remote sites. If we were to wait for fiber to reach out to all of the rural communities, it would probably take 5 to 10 years to do. Whereas with satellite, it can be immediate, even as other technologies are being rolled out. And so we plan to expand that, this particular product. And are in discussions with a number of provinces and, of course, government departments. And the carrier license, there are now more competitors again than there were before because the mobiles can provide that. And the new licensing regime under the ECA makes it possible for more service providers in this regard. But we're looking at a turnaround strategy so that we have a viable business there. Chair, I'll ask CFO to take us through the finances.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. 3-year window. We've taken a view on the business going forward, but this is an income statement of it, and the revenue line, I just want to alert you to a few issues here, is you see the revenue increasing, but that is more to take into account when CCT comes online and the dual elimination revenue. The other issues are, we are hoping, and we haven't taken this into our numbers into account, that ICASA will license more broadcasters under the CCT regime speedily so that we can sweat that asset even better, because there will be capacity for more broadcasters to come online. In the year 2010, we are looking at a loss, but that loss takes into account a lot of items that we had to discontinue, like the My Wireless and the business that the CEO has alluded to. We have taken the impairment of these assets into account, but the discontinued ops will only start in 2010. So discontinued products, but we've taken the word not in this year in the actual numbers. We are projecting a profit for 2011 and 2012, and that is because there will be a major shaving of the cost line where these My Wireless and business costs, the variable costs, will be done away with. Some of these things are semi-variable, and they've got contract lifespans of between 12 and 18 months, so that will still run through. We'll have to honor those contracts. We cannot just cancel those contracts. Our balance sheet is split on two lines, on two pages. If you had put it on one slide, it would be too busy, and also it would be a very rich balance sheet. On the asset side, I'm just going to alert the committee to the assets increase in 2010 and 2011. That is in line with the asset creation for 2010. That will be left as an asset for CETEC, and also the EDT assets, which will then be capitalized properly and be brought into commission. What the committee must be aware of is on the liability side, if you look at our current assets versus our current liabilities, the company will have liquidity problems. And if you look at the cash and cash equivalents, they look quite high. The figures are looking strong, but that is a skewed picture because of the ring-fenced money that we've received for GDT 2010, and that shows the cash holdings of the company. But we can't use the money for the company's operations, but for those projects, because they have strict onerous conditions attached to them. I've just compiled some indicators. If you look at our gearing ratio, it's improving year on year, because we're doing away with marginal products and products that are not giving positive contributions to fixed costs. Our operating profit margin from 2010 is a negative 10, going up to a positive 10 in 2011, and then a positive 18 in 2012. I must alert the committee also that we haven't taken in any new national wireless broadband revenue into this plan. That is a separate business plan and a separate project. Until the funding is finalized, then only can we realize that. The net profit margin also improves, and our return on our assets and equity improves, but goes down in 2012 because the asset base becomes quite high, and then we are hoping that the licensing of the broadcasters, as I've said, will be accelerated by ICASA. But we haven't taken any revenue for those new licensed broadcasters that will come into account. The debt equity ratio also improves, but it goes down in 2012 because we have got no funding window for this business. And we're looking at the moment, we just plug the number into the debt numbers to say that we will take more debt than on. But that might be difficult being a Schedule 3B company. The debt equity ratio, excluding the government grants, also improves, but you can see in the year 2012, we'll have to take on a bit more debt to realize our ambitions of growing the business and growing all other products that are profitable. The cash flows are looking quite strong, but as I explained to you earlier, this is a skewed picture because of the government grants received, and these are ring-fenced monies that have to be kept in the on the books, but we have to make sure that, it skews the picture for the company, but these monies cannot be used for the business operations in normal. business does yield positive cash flow, as you can see the cash generated from our operations in the year 2011 and 2012. It has positive cash flows coming out of the business. So the products that are left in the business after we've impaired the loss-making activities will be positive.
Take you through our key technical projects as well as our key planned projects, starting with DTT. As we all know, the purpose of this project is to migrate all our analog terrestrial TV services to digital terrestrial TV in order to fulfill the listed objectives. First of all, we are happy to see that we will upgrade our aged analog television infrastructure, as well as comply with ITU requirements of ensuring that we move to digital before the analog signals would be unprotected. As CFO mentioned, there will be more capacity created by moving to DTT, therefore more services can be accommodated as well. Our plans, our original plans or original scope for the project were as follows. With the opportunity to switch on DTT 1st November 2008, and as you can see, the plan was to switch off the analog TV in year 6 of the project, and that is November 2011. Population coverage was to be achieved at 56% in year 3, 78% in year 2, and 92% by year 4 of the year 5 of the project. To do this, we put together a plan that would require some 960 million in capex, as well as some 900 odd million in OPEX. The picture you see before you shows the requirements as well as what has been allocated so far. As you can see, there is a shortfall of 150 million on the CapEx allocation, as well as the 588 million that the CEO earlier mentioned. This also shows that in terms of the coverage priorities that we had set for ourselves, we've had to rescope the project and ensure that we only do the work that is possible within the budget constraints. And as you can see, that translates to a year 3 of 47% coverage as opposed to the original 56% coverage, year 4 of 63.3% as opposed to the original 78%, and the next year 75.5% as opposed to 92%. What also can be picked up from this picture is that we are now going to have an extended dual illumination period. Two phases so far have been added to the project, and that the 1 November 2011 switch off or analog switch off date may not be achieved. As you can see, we're moving into a phase 6 of the project, and even then we're only reaching 84% of population coverage with the money that has been allocated so far. And in terms of the progress so far, it has been mentioned that we managed to switch on the digital television infrastructure 2 days earlier than the due date as prescribed by cabinet. We did mention that we started dual illumination from that date, and we currently are operating a pilot for SABC and ETV. We've also achieved 33 population coverage as of 31st March 2009 as opposed to the 47%. There are still outstanding issues that are being ironed out by ICASA and the industry as far as the spectrum plan is concerned, as well as the migration policy implementation. With all that dealt with, phase 4 should yield a 63.3% population coverage by the end of this financial year. Yeah, we have mentioned the risks just to perhaps finalize this section of the presentation. The shortfall of 115 million on CAPEX and 588 in OPEX would mean that the date of 1 November 2011 as Tshisa cabinet may not be met. And as I mentioned, the other issues are being dealt with by ICASA and industry. Moving on to the next project, World Cup Soccer 2010, as well as the Concert Cup. As the CEO mentioned, we have handed over successfully the equipment and network to HBS and FIFA yesterday for the four stadiums that used for the Concert Cup. The CAPEX and the OPEX allocation for the project is quite healthy. We would be appealing to DOC to release the OPEX portion of the allocation. In terms of the planned project, as you know, government has, through a number of initiatives, committed to bridging the digital divide in the country in order to achieve what we've listed on the slide. The project aims, in terms of the national wireless broadband network, to provide accessible and affordable broadband services, as well as prioritize the connectivity to schools, health facilities, as well as post offices. Thereby obviously increasing competition in the size retail, down at the end of the value chain, the retailers would be more competitive if you remove the burden of network rollout from them. And hopefully the cost of service will also go down. There is a view in government that Centec shouldn't compete in the private sector, and hence there is an agreement between DOC and Treasury that we should operate the network on a wholesale basis. This provides us with an opportunity to be a catalyst in the environment. The project capital requirements are 4.4 billion, of which the fiscals would be required to contribute 3.1 billion. And the balance would come from the project cash flows. And as we've mentioned before, Chair, if the allocations are only limited to half a billion that we have so far received, the implications are that the project aims would not be fulfilled. Chair, in terms of the Lady Schools project, which as the Apex priority of government's APEC priority. Centec is mandated to connect 500 schools as well as surrounding connectivity to clinics or surrounding clinics, hospitals, systems, post offices, as well as libraries and other government offices within the coverage area of the school. This project would require some 3.8 billion to roll out the national network. And in terms of the options that Centec put forward, given the availability or lack of availability of funds, we have put forward a decent solution to DOC in terms of ensuring that the 500 schools are covered immediately with the 500 million that is being allocated to Centec. However, DOC expressed the preference of rolling out the WAN extended capable network on a national basis to do the same. And as we have mentioned, the project would not be financially sustainable unless more funding is put on the table. And the discussions are ongoing in terms of what best business cost and funding models are the other sectors. I'll now hand over back to the CEO to the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Madam. The issues under the table that has been presented to the committee before, we've been reading the papers that there are currently tried submarine cables covering really both sides of the African continent, and maybe have an interest in South Africa. Since it has been allocated to 1 million and that was done 6 years ago, DOC initially for the easy undersea cable, but the Department of Communications then said that what we need to do is to work with Baharicom or Hulinet that's trying to map it. I believe questions were raised yesterday that regarding the approval processes, which is something that can be taken offline. And so we are continuing to engage the Department of Communications in this regard. Honourable members, the question chairman salary, I believe that most people agree that it still would be a coup for South Africa to get this contract to roll out 1,000 plus stations for this particular project. It's supposed to be located in the numbered province, and this is sort of a graphic view of what it would look like. Now, the FDA requires a pristine environment, no interference whatsoever, and so the FDA consultant, the Department of Science and Technology, has been working with the team to arrive at a resolution of what to do with people who reside within the 100 kilometer radius, for instance, which is supposed to be very interference free. We have also been in discussion with the consultants and the Department of Communication. Australia and South Africa are competing. They are the only two entities on the short list. A decision is going to be made in 2014, but it's important for both countries to demonstrate now what it is that they can do to achieve the objective of the FTA. And so what we have been informed is that we will need to vacate the designated area and remove the high power transmitters, put numerous low power transmitters take care of the population that is not moving from that area. We have indicated to them that there are complications in this regard. The Department of Communications has also been discussing with the Department of Science and Technology to say that the cost of these changes that are necessary would have to be put into the project plan. As the cost of the FAA as opposed to assuming that it's somebody's problem, because it's on an integrated plan that we have to come up with to ensure that we vacate the area where we are, get capital injection to acquire the transmitters necessary to continue to provide services to South Africans in those remote areas. So we bring it to the committee to just make them aware of one of the projects that we've been working on. And we may need to come back to you if we're not provided necessary capital, because we do know that the people are likely to complain that they had services and now they no longer have services. And the committee members are likely to say that when with the infrastructure. So it is just for information for the community. In conclusion, Chair, just wanted to say that the broadcasting and television business is profitable. The telecom side could be profitable, both financially and also in terms of socioeconomic delivery. There is, however, budget funding. We believe that there are some qualities that are in the core of the center business, but of course some others in the sector may feel feel a little bit of the same way. We tend to manage that. And again, since the EPA is technology neutral, which is really important, we do believe that the shareholders, not only the DOC, but also government as a whole, should indeed come to a resolution of what the mandate of the SOE in the sector is for the Centec entity to incorporate in all of them, because we all can do everything. Clearly, we're going to be capable of each other. And it's an area that we believe the Department of Communication or specifically the Minister will be paying attention to. So that the division is in the use of public funds and the provision of economic benefits.
Thank you very much. Do the sheep in Kabul watch TV? Do the sheep in Kabul watch TV? Because I'm told that there are more sheep than human beings in Kabul. Thank you very much. I think it's a clear and concise presentation. Actually, I have lots of questions on the finances that is going on. I think we are concerned.
but you might have other areas that is digging and the service is laying up or not at all. Now, Chair, but the other issues that if you go to, I'm not that much wound when it comes to financial issues, but I don't want to understand the only financial statement. There is always an item for interest received. Now, in relation to the balance sheet, as it does that mean it includes the interest from the partners of CEO? There are 500 million. Is that the interest that generated are also part of balance, making the balance sheet to look much better on these reinvest amounts so that maybe if you take them out, what becomes of the institution in terms of their finances, because the CFO has been saying they have a proper impact among the so I'm not sure what I got that impact in terms of the balance. Maybe I'll have to keep the others, maybe I can ask this.
Can I just say that, you know, we do have a new minister and deputy minister. But this policy issue of whether you should be entering private markets in terms of competing and offering other banking services, or whether you should remain basically public resource and facility. Has there been any progress on this matter? Because I think all the problems around MWBN, high-rises, business, seem to hinge around that key policy question and the tension that is there. And I remember when I came in last year, between Treasury and yourself and the GOC. Now, are we moving towards some certainty, some resolution around this issue, or is it still a tug of war that is taking place? I'd like us to spend some time on that particular issue. Because it's quite clear that if you're not going to get funding for this MWBN beyond what you've been given, maybe we just tie this kind of flying guy here. And we're going to be forced into an investment which will not really yield the kind of results that you want. And 3 or 4 or 5 years from now, we'll come back and say that we'll have to exit from the force. A decision has to be made. Can we enter that terrain? Can we get the funding? If not, then we must review our plan. I'd like to know whether you've, and I believe we've had a meeting with the minister and deputy minister already. Maybe you need to give us some insight into that particular issue. I'm going to come back to the Uhuru Net for how you come to, because as we mentioned yesterday, as far as we are concerned, there is no official cabinet approval for this. Now, we had this presented as one of the key priorities for the DOC yesterday. We've asked them to provide confirmation from the different cabinet level that this is the direction that we are taking. But you are already, I think, indicating you've committed some funding, or you are about to commit some funding. Is this purely on an instruction from DOC, or is it a decision you've made on your own because you think it makes good sense to invest 21 million rand of public money into that project as compared to any of the others that might be on offer? I'd like to know what's your own position on the matter other than responding to an instruction. But if it's an instruction, then I think we need to take it up with those who issue the instruction and to see whether that is a legitimate mandated instruction or something else. The third thing I have is your main client, it seems, is the SABC. Might be wrong. Now, they are having their own financial problems. Are you getting payments from them timely and regularly? What if you don't get the payment? What happens to that? I'd like to hear your views on that. The point about dual illumination has been raised. I think we need to have a full discussion on that issue. FIFA World Cup, have we met all the targets? Are we on course? are we guaranteeing what we have guaranteed? I don't understand the technology of this thing, so maybe you should just take us through what are the commitments and how far are we with that? So that it is the technical part. I'm hoping Mr. Bonhomme can give the financial issues. I know he's with a better financial mind, but just remind me, last year did we show a loss? I can't remember. So what has happened this year? Why are we showing about the 59 million rand loss in the current? The current machine. What happened there?
In the main, I'm just going to ask the people that are directly involved with the various questions to answer them. In terms of your last question, in terms of going into that block situation, there was an explanation from the chief financial officer that we've got an accelerated write-off of assets as a result of moving from retail to wholesale with respect to broadband. And there's also an acceleration of the write-off of assets in respect of the analog equipment, which will come to an end in 2015. So in terms of accounting practice and policies, it's necessary to do that. So those are book losses that are affected in the government, and that is to a large extent why. Mr. Gatton might have further information as far as that's concerned, and wish to comment. As far as the FABC is concerned at the moment, I'm sure you understand, Chair, that the FABC is our biggest client. It would probably not be appropriate for us to be voicing too much comment in respect of the situation at the FABC at the moment. But I must say they're obviously a very valued client. To date, as we speak, they are saying they're making their commitments to get. I think that those questions in relation to the interest received have been asked by the Honourable Member over there, and the other issues dealing with BNC staff and the license and management to deal with that.
Thank you, Chair.
Maybe to discuss the issue of the SABC. I'm sure the question is not directed to extract, you know, in detail, but it tells us the question is that what happened to the SABC does not meet their obligation of pay. Are you going to survive? It's a general question. Are you going to survive as the main client if they happen to meet their obligation in the light of their current financial situation?
You're obviously asking us for a comment on the situation that you brought me to contemplate that probably the company would not give up.
I think just to say whether they are put in this measure. To me, it's more of a risk measure, risk management. By some saying, to have the risk management of the situation, because it explores the legal aspect, with more of a risk management. So we have planned risk management in place to contemplate that situation.
Chair, I'll respond after there's people to add. The SABC, given the expensive radio network that they have, the number of stations they have more television services than any of the others combined. Same with television. They account for more than 50% of our revenue. So even with contingency measures, because of our heavy dependence on their business, it's bound to affect Centex. We would have an infrastructure we cannot with. We suppose that government has to come in and intervene because the developing public would be affected if we were to switch off our network due to maintenance of the SABC.
just means that SBC 1, 2, and 3 will be on air and in all of the radio stations. And I think it's then a decision that since it came off unknowingly, that government has to, you know, sit with us to, you know, to have a discussion around it. We have met with the Minister of Communications yesterday. This issue was touched upon, but we agreed that there would be further meetings between the DOC and CENTEC to have a discussion around the same issue. So if you give them another, you know, month, I suppose, to arrive at a contingency plan that we can share with them. But as I said, we didn't have a substantial contract. Chair, can I move on to the other thanks? There was a question asked about the CENTEC staff. We currently sit as 540, as noted on the slide above, and the occupational levels are the same as used by the Department of Labor. So some of them don't quite make sense. This is where we sit. We do have some vacancies, not a whole lot. And some of the vacancies are caused by the fact that it's moving from, you know, getting rid of the retail product and moving to wholesale. We no longer need, for instance, as large a sales and marketing department as we would if we were working with, you know, a retail. And so we don't plan to fill those vacancies because they're no longer necessary. We're going through the organization to see where, you know, we can, you know, reduce our overhead costs simply because we no longer, you know, require the same numbers of people. It isn't a question of retrenching anyone, it's simply a matter of restructuring and moving people around to ensure that the organization is efficiently run and, you know, and as I had mentioned before, we have an in-house training program to ensure that there's a career progression plan for people in the technical areas mostly, to make sure that they are able to progress professionally up the ranks as they develop more and more skills. And that process is competency based. So our employees will go through a training program. They have to demonstrate competency before they know one else. We're quite comfortable that with that, the succession planning and ensuring that we always have skills, the requisite skills, so that the SLA that we commit to our customers is always met. That is what I don't know if there are any questions for you. I must also add that we have a contract with Advent Theatre where we train, we have a group of learners and people in Indian. And the agreement with Theatre is that 50% of those should be women. And we have been able to do that. And so there are quite a number of young women in the group, and we try to retain them after the training program. When we don't have vacancies, we put them on a rotational basis where they have an opportunity to work in the various technical areas, the various departments, and whenever a vacancy arises, we then place them at permanent level. Chair, there was a question regarding the relationship between CENTEC and the PMC. We have, along with the DOC, also been working with the PMC in relation to the innovative schools. And so we do have meetings with them regarding the issue of extending the infrastructure. question of the dual elimination, and what if the dual network, what we're saying is that we currently have one, we did have just one network, which is analog. Since late October last year, we switched on the digital network. We currently run a pilot project for the broadcast. So we're running two networks. Somebody has to pay for the added electricity, added manpower that's required to service and maintain the infrastructure. The broadcasters are saying it's unfair for them to be obliged to pay for the digital infrastructure, because in a sense, while it's a worthwhile project and they can see the benefits long term, in the immediate future, there isn't any. Because when they sell advertising and all of that, they do get the analog infrastructure. And that's how they get their revenue. So for them to be able to pay for this, which they don't mind paying for because they did step that they can do, but to have added cost with the piece of infrastructure right now does not make financial sense to them. So somebody has to, in a sense, come forward and assist in this regard. We do know that in other jurisdictions, there's either been tariffs or whatever it is for the broadcasters that entice them to migrate. And different jurisdictions that use different methods of doing that. We are a developing country, and so we cannot at all times say, what is Europe doing? Let's see what Europe is doing. Because unless we look at the old Eastern Europe, I suppose. So we can only follow from other lands and try to improve what they have done. But that was really the issue that we're running into networks. It's not as if it's double the cost, but you know, they're at a cost. And somebody has to pay for that, so that they're not giving that people to pay for, you know, they're at a cost.
Can I just follow up? You see, my concern here is originally we were looking at rolling this out over 3 years. From what I understand now, that is not going to be possible, that you're going to have to extend it over 5 years. Now, with an extension of time means extension of cost. And if you are already in a shortfall of what is 550 million, just who's going to pay? I mean, we can say that they are not to such a degree, or government will have to step in, but you see, unless we don't get a resolution on this, my difficulty with some kind of Centec when they come here is that the problems are put before us. In our early schools, there were a shortfall of so much. This we were a shortfall of so much. Then we were a shortfall of so much. It's good to know that. What are we going to do about it? I mean, there must be some plan on the table. And you know, and somebody has to take. Well, I'm not saying you explicitly, of course, the DOC question, but what is the mechanism? At what point do we take decisions about those things so that we can get on with our work? And I don't get a sense from the team here that there's a way out of this. We come into a dead end. We come to a dead end. We come to a dead end. Like a maze. How are we going to get out of this thing? I don't see that.
Thank you, Chair. There's a need for decoders. And it's not within Centec's power to deal with the issue of decoders in a digital environment. We are part of a longer commitment to address that issue. But until the manufacturers have enough decoders in the market, the infrastructure could be ready, but if that content cannot get to the end user, it is a problem for everyone. And so it isn't a problem only that for Centec, but it's a problem for the entire industry, for the regulator and everybody else, and you know, government. Because if you switch off analog, the because our digital infrastructure is ready, but nobody in the country, or you know, part of the people only in the country can receive it. There are political implications to that. So it does indeed require the efforts of the industry, as I included, and government to come together. I believe that through digital broadband, some of the crisis we've had with financial communications, we've addressed some of these issues. We don't have final decisions that have been made on the issue, for instance, of the longer term elimination. We have indicated that it will cost more. So for us, if the funding was made available, whichever way, it would be cheaper in the long term in terms of the fiscal. We have given those proposals. And so with the new administration and the new minister coming on board and all of this, it is indeed some of the issues that are on the table. And as I said, we met the minister yesterday, and we're going to have a meeting shortly to address some of these issues that you raised so that we can indeed resolve them. But we don't have answers simply because we can't resolve them alone. As I mentioned, the issue of the need for decoder, even with the infrastructure ready, needs to be addressed by the community.
Honourable members, part of the dilemma of an organisation like this is that it takes largely its direction from a shareholder. And to a large extent, the shareholder determines that we all go in certain directions, such as BTT, such as certain other things. And I think as a natural consequence, the funding of an organisation like this has got to follow from where it gets its direction. There's certain projects that one might be involved in if we were a standalone board taking business decisions. We might not be taking those decisions. We might be saying if that was our money, we wouldn't be doing it. To an extent, when you come to the United Schools project, I think we're saying that $500 million in that project is probably not where I'd like to put my money. But I believe that we've offered an alternative in terms of visa as not being the ideal way of doing it, but being a way of overcoming the pressure. So I think the company actually went very hard in dealing with the shareholder and the shareholder representative in trying to resolve the issue. Chair, sorry, I did indicate that I had a problem, so I'm not running away from difficult issues. I hope that impression is not created.
I'm sure the chair tried to cover my because I just wanted to ask whether I the sort of in a box they can get out. That is the issue, but I think the final response try to remedy or give an answer to my question that they seem to be the shareholder driven more than a board. Maybe the issue of the case I don't know.
Okay. There were other questions on one of these was competition with the private sector. And if there has been any progress made in our discussions with our shareholders. The issue has not been resolved. The minister has said that we can be meeting very soon to address this particular issue. Because Centric has always contended that inasmuch as government has said we should not compete with the private sector is competing with Centric on government business. And so it is an issue that we need to resolve. Because if the access we need to access operate connected, we're hoping that we should be given the space to do that, even if we are required to work with government on certain specific government mandates. There is a tension that
just ask a question there. You know, the former deputy minister, he's saying that you have control over spectrum. I don't understand the technical side of it. But it's a very valuable asset that you have. And it is not fully utilized at the moment. I can just give this to somebody that is generating income for the society. I don't know. But you don't want to sell it off. It's a valuable asset that the state should hold. But can it be leased to get money into this company?
Because the regulator, I don't know what the regulator is. We can't list it because the regulator will say if you don't need it, give it back or give it to somebody else who can. But what we are going to be talking with the shareholder about is getting into partnerships with other entities that can help us utilize it efficiently, make money off of it, even as we roll out to the rural areas, so establish a balance there. We're mindful of the fact that once we bring the private sector in, there are more cities in these clusters than that it may take a bit longer, but it's an alternative that the board has looked at, and it is one of the things that is what we discussion with the council. Which we raised with the shoulder yesterday, and we agreed that we'll have a serious statement on this one. Because the idea was that if we lose the spectrum and give it back to the regulator, then it's lost, and they could no longer be in a position to be a partner for government to indeed roll out to the whole area. So it has to deal with to find out if we can wait for that idea. Ensure that we will fulfill that mandate, even as we use part of the spectrum to indeed make money. Chair, was a question about what the manager behind the company and whether Centric has committed the funding. Centric has not committed the funding yet, it's still in our book. The DOC has said that in line with its strategy to working with other African countries to increase the bandwidth, not only in South Africa, but on the continent, Centric is working with Safaricom. Our board has said that we need to look at the business case of it. That the board has said, Safaricom as a board, they have a financial responsibility to interrogate the business plan before making a decision or recommendation to the minister. So that is where it kind of is. So we have to see the financial commitment has been made. I'll ask the COO to answer the question of the FIFA target, what commitments are made and what they have meant, and also the issue of the NWDM, the optimal connectivity given the money that we have.
Chair, honorable members, on the FIFA 2010, our mandate is to provide backup satellite facilities to transmit images from the stadium to the International Broadcast Center, which is for Concert Park at Ellis Park, and for 2010 World Cup Soccer in London. In terms of the targets for the Concert Park, we have mentioned that we handed over the network successfully yesterday to present this year. So yes, we have mentioned that. The question about what would be possible with the 500 million, given that we have given options on the GDP side of the allocations we have put forward to the shareholder a number of options thus far. One could take
take those options from a concentration, for instance, of the NASDAQ in one area, and do it well with the 500 million. The question is which area? So I suppose if you look at the nine provinces, if you see then went to an option of saying let's do something in all of the provinces, and hence if you look at the list of the 500 schools, they're spread all across the country, and that's part of the difficulty in terms of making sure that you have an excellent effect with, you know, too little. So that is a complication in terms of the wireless network. Another option that we put on the table is to connect all 500 schools immediately with another technology we have already touched. I hope that answers the question.
Okay. You know, now that the report is about I just wondering, I need on the overview in the MPA to ask on environmental ecology, whether your intention to improve the coordination on this overarching ICT strategy and the implementation plan with the department. Are you doing something? Because I can imagine some of the departments that are in the areas where is the rural of the rural, and I suppose you should be testing with the coordination with them. What are you doing about it? Especially that it also involves the budget.
Can I just follow up on the scenario thing also? You see, it's not helpful if the GOC says who is this, and you sense the most modern way to go, but they're not prepared to commit any money. And not prepared to explain where the money is going to come from. Now, under those circumstances, shouldn't you be making a decision? I mean, you have a board, you have an management, and look with the consequences of your decision. Because this is it's a chicken and egg. We are going around and around and around and around. Either we can do 270 schools properly, or we do a province properly. But what would be the best model? That's what I want to know. Because we're sitting with this thing since last year. And there's virtually no progress that has been made. And if you think that VSET is I don't understand again VSET technically, I don't understand it. But if that's the best and the most cost-effective way of moving, then the obligation is on you to convince your shareholder that, look, this is the only way we can go under these circumstances. But I think my challenge is, or my concern is that, yes, you have a shareholder, but then you don't just say, sit back and say, well, the shareholder must decide and then they must give me the money. You are there. So what are you saying? Which direction should we take so that we can, and then push the shareholders? Look, this is the only logical and rational way to go. Yes, we have a dream. Nice to have it. We can't afford it. This country can't afford it. Or this government can't afford it. What's your preference then? Or maybe you should give us a document indicating what is your preferred option.
Very much. There are constraints that the scheduling of Semtex is problematic. In that 3D, according to GFMA, says that we cannot get into a partnership, trust, you know, incorporated joint venture or similar arrangement without the explicit authorization of the shareholder with the compliance of the Minister of Finance. And there have been numerous opportunities where we could have done that, except we need that authorization. And if it's not forthcoming, then it is done. In this particular case, we did not need to go. So part of the challenge is that the shareholder is also the customer. In
in Centec in business, you have to listen to your customer and give the customer what the customer wants. You can offer an alternative, but if the customer says this is what I want, you can't go and down their throat. Because you would say to the customer, this is what you want. You could get this in maybe year 5, but in the meantime, there's this other solution that you can use while you're trying to get the funding to come up with an ideal solution. We have put that on the table, and the minister has indeed promised to look at that. As I said, we just met with the minister yesterday. Because we did have a particular option to put on the table, and we have had Mr. Deprasic wanting to work with Centec in the rollout of the infrastructure, but without the explicit written authorization of the shareholder with National Centec, we can do. If we need to schedule, we will be able to do that. And it's certainly one of the reasons we have really been asking for a long time. If could be reclassified so that we're a little more agile than we currently are. We're in a sector which is very, very dynamic. And if decisions take 2 years, 3 years in the making, you lose enormous opportunities. This company could indeed be a lot more profitable except for some of these constraints that, that we have.
I know that
that the decision is in favor of South Africa, and we're expected to start the implementation in 2014. I'm just asking myself, what's the plan to engage community or stakeholders and things like that? Because I'm running away from the situation where the decision is in favor of South Africa, and when we start the process of engaging community and then the stakeholders, then we find that the community and the pressure, there is that problem of getting support from the community, which will end up delaying the implementation, and then as a result, it will give South Africa a bad name. Or maybe you will say, no, it's not the center, could do that, the Department of Science and Technology. But I think we understand who's supposed to start that process of engaging community and the other stakeholders in the area and things like that.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll ask the CEO to address the issue of analysis groups and why many states this. But on the SKA, the Department of Science and Technology, I believe, has a plan to educate people in the affected areas about the project, consult with them. I believe they have bought a few funds and decisions have been made to relocate the people I suppose with the money to leave those areas. We have been working with their team on the technical side of it. We have indicated to them that we need to involve the SDG very, very early on so that they too can assist in the education consultation process so that there are no surprises there. We do believe that those camps are moving forward, and as I said, the SDG has been involved in some of these discussions.
Chair, as I mentioned, there have been options, Chair, that were looked at with the customs. I think the difficulty becomes if it's all provinces or nothing, then it limits you to the one scenario of all provinces. But if you were to say what is the best scenario, you should look at one or two provinces and do it very well in the two or three provinces.
Chair, there was a question on
the explanation is really because the unit for reset will service one client. So if we install a EPE or a customer premise equipment at the site, say the school, it will service just the school. However, if we put a site in that area, the argument is that there will be more government offices that will be covered. It's really a matter of which of the two is best for how much money you have. So there are pros and cons with both.
Stefan, I don't know what on this issue. I think it's also an issue of time, because one of the proposals you put on the table is that you could, technically speaking, because some might cover the entire country, to do this with reset, even as we proceed to roll out wireless, because that will take a longer time than blanketing all of these schools with reset, so that we don't have communities waiting for a final ideal solution. Because we didn't think that it was a zero-sum game, we didn't have to be done. And so in our discussions with the minister, we will be again raising those issues that in the middle ground while we seek funds or partner or something like that, whereby we can begin immediately benefit from
Have you covered all the questions?
No, the retention strategy. Gender retention strategy, we acknowledge that people don't need just for their money. The environment in which they work is also important. And so we're constantly looking at this. A part of the training and development program is geared towards ensuring that people do stay. I do believe that the two major projects I think is involved in the GCC and the 2010 ice climbing program. And so people will stay because they want to be a part of these, you know, chief creation and projects, so to speak. But we also have a bonus scheme to retain people so that we give key areas a bonus and they make a commitment to stay with them for X number of years. And this is to work. So it's the combination, it's not just the equipment, but the environment and what it is for them, you know, can we grow professionally.
Yes. Can we go to
have you answered my previous question?
Okay, what is it about the SPA?
Level of coordination and policy.
Okay, you want to repeat the question? In the name.
Then if the policy is, I suppose, have a competency to roll out infrastructure, you go to CHIP and go to CASPA and get that special. CISA has said, in the other, they say that we had an entitlement for a telecom for different licenses, to so the coordination is not just with the private sector and the public sector. Players, but within the public sector itself, that there needs to be better coordination. And I believe that in our discussions with the Department of Communication recently, we informed that it's an issue that government can be looking at, and specifically our ministers will be looking at. So that at local, provincial, and national level, that there is better synergy. With all of these entities for efficiency and also delivery and of course cost efficiency.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members of the committee. Centered on the 2010 World Cup program, the DOC has got established team that work on coordinating with provinces and even local municipalities. And on the Denali project, the Department of Communication interfaces with other government departments like the Department of Education and the Department of Health and Correctional Services. There is a project that Centec is involved in under the auspices of the Department of Communication, the INSPIRE project, where the Finnish government has funded the Mpopo and the Northern Cape in order to connect the area.
Thank you, Professor. On the slide,
Deuteronomy, it's part of the same lot.
So it is very clear for government or for cabinet to decide. My understanding is that they feel a need to begin to demonstrate to the international organization that's in the FAA that South Africa has the capability of doing this. I do understand that they may actually also put fire to some of those areas, even before a final decision is made, because Australia is also being, you know, the same. In terms of the high power versus low power, with low power, in a sense, you have to, for broadcasting, you try to find a high price, and you get a high power transmitter to transmit over, you know, a large area. If it's low power, it just means that you need many more transmitters. Still providing the same service, but you need many more transmitters. It may well be that we have to, as soon as we know, apply for environmental impact assessment studies, perhaps for expeditious decision making, so that it does not take us a long time to get those approvals so that we can set up the transmitters all over the place. But the idea is that they won't get the very same service, except it is a bit more expensive to do the depot than to put one high power transmitter to cover the other areas.
More questions? Okay. These are all the members that give them a chance. One,
I'm not sure clear what this is. The major one is training. I never understood it properly. On page 27, there's an undersea cable. They are saying that you suddenly fire suddenly cables and give the name of the cable in the service. Then there's the elegant program with its participation in the SA undersea submarine cable. And then it goes on to say DOC instructor center not to participate in any cable but Bahari Commons using it. I just don't understand that. It seems that they're told 21 million for SA, but they move on to Bahari Congress. Let me clear up for me.
I think, Shane, this is the last question. The objective, or the main objective of the government, is to bridge the digital divide. Then they that decision, that Centec not to compete with the private sector. What's the view of Centec on that one, and what's the impact? Because it was saying not to compete with the private sector, but at the same time, you can regulate it and regulate the private sector. They will do at their own pace and at their own means, and will not achieve this a bigger objective of reaching this divide. And I know that there was even the well submitted a commitment that we need to work towards reaching this digital divide. I want to understand the view of the deck and also the negative or the disadvantage of this decision.
In terms of the digital divide and the view that Centec should not compete with the private sector, Centec's view is that there should not be any constraint in us competing with the private sector, because where you make money, you could then cross-subsidize some of the underserviced areas. But if we only focus on the underserviced areas, then it means that we will forever be dependent on government for that part of the business, because it would not generate enough profit to be sustainable over time. So, you know, if we have a discretion to do it all, clearly selective markets and all of that, but there would not be any constraints. That is what we would prefer. said earlier, even if we are, you know, obliged to roll out to the, you know, unaffected areas, especially if the conditions have been doing that, we simply think there needs to be a sense of balance in us doing that. The private sector nonetheless competes with central government. And anyone has allowed to compete with them. And again, if the opportunity for a PPP, for instance, you know, we would be able to both meet government obligations for development of the rural areas, as well as making a profit, as I mentioned. So in terms of the Easy and Bahari Pond, the Easy project was initially a project of NEPAL, which a government project. But as the project developed, and so we allocated money to participate in Easy, and because part of our business is that of carrier, we need international bandwidth. We would be able to receive that bandwidth, or, you know, procure that bandwidth far cheaper than we're currently doing, so it would be profitable for the company to do that. But somewhere along the way, there were issues between NEPAL and the other members of the Easy Consortium. And that's where the Bahari Com agreement came up. Because there was no meeting of the minds, our government is understanding, once there's an open system where an open participation as opposed to a private class like you have with that three. They wanted affordable connectivity. And so they were saying with a private class, all they're doing is getting maximum, you know, money out of the investment. Whereas with the other one, it had to be sustainable but affordable, so that there would be connectivity not only in South Africa but with other parts of the Russian continent. When that could not be achieved through Easy, South Africa and the other countries, not all of them, started focusing on an alternative under sea cable. Which is the Bahari Com and GuruNet. One is under sea cable, the other is infrastructure on a terrestrial infrastructure to make sure that these countries connect to the sea and are able to get bandwidth. Government then said, or through the GOC, that CENTEC should then participate in the Bahari Com GuruNet because it was that project that is supported by NEPAL and no longer because, you know, but with in the allocation, when it was allocated by Parliament, it was easy. Because the government is not saying we need to invest in Bahari Com products, and the discussions are around the business plan. It doesn't make business sense to do that. But government has an agenda for South Africa and the continent. We run a business, and so we need to find common ground somewhere and move.
Thank you.
Okay.
You see, I don't know. Yesterday, the department, when they were doing presentation, they mentioned that there is a presidential commission, I think it's an advisory commission to the president on ICT. And as I'm listening to the declaration of benefit, one, I just want to find out that the CENTEC has a relationship with that commission in terms of advising the president on policy issues and on how
know. I might be wrong, Chairperson. And also, Chairperson, what I am censoring here is bad. Here you have this entity called Sentex. That it has a huge potential, or it has a potential, you know, to move technologically and take us down. But I don't know, to me, it sounds, there's something that is holding them. I don't know what it is. Perhaps, maybe the ANC component, when we are alone, we need to, you know, to look at this. For me, I see sentence is really,
thank you very much. Sentex has always been invited to the IGF, the Intergovernmental Relations Forum, where the leaders of communication chairs and the economic development MECs of the various provinces sit on it, and they. Their meetings are held from, you know, the office provinces and all of it. We've always been invited so that we can talk about Sentex statistics and what Sentex can do to help develop those provinces. And the last meeting that was held was in late March or April in KZN. The then Minister of Provincial Minister came. We presented and he said we need to take it forward because he's really concerned about rural development, and so we need to see how Sentex can assist. We have, you know, asked for a meeting. We thought that since the election, everybody is still busy, but we're hoping that we will have a meeting before the end of next month so that we can take an initial discussion forward about how we can participate in this. Now, the former president, Mbeki, had the International Presidential Commission on ICT. The people that sat on the commission were all international business people in the ICT. Sentex would be invited to interact with some of them, but on a limited basis when they are in the country. Sentex was also, as it answered on the local PNC, Presidential Commission on MCT. However, as was indicated yesterday, the commission has not met in quite a while, so there has not been an opportunity to input directly to the presidency in this regard. If under the administration there will be some changes made.
Thank you very much. We've got a formality to go through. This is a new format that the committee session is presenting to. It's a report on the GCIM. Yes, can I just read this because we've got to approve this report. The Portfolio Committee on Communication, having considered budget for 6 and 30 plans of the GCIM and its entities for the 2009 financial year, reports that it has concluded its deliberations thereon. The committee further acknowledges that it supports budget for 6, the report should be considered. Can we agree to this? Agree to
this? Isn't it now parallel with the power to work on budget? I support that, so I will do with that so that they have to close down ourselves on support that budget of the GCIM. But I would agree.
Thank you very much. We're not changing Sentex budget in this. Thank you very much, and I think we've had a good set of questions and responses. Thank you to the team for coming over, and we'll see you at the debate on the 23rd.
Okay. I'm saying.